This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. In the wake of the lame duck session, there have been a couple of developments that have raised some eyebrows. Former legislators moving directly from the Capitol to lobbying firms, a $10 million sweetheart deal for a former chair of the Republican Party, and no one seems to know who put it in at the last minute. Joining us are our Friday political commentators via Skype, Ken Sikkema, Senior Policy Fellow at Public Sector Consultants and former Republican legislative leader, and Vicki Barnett, the former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. The National Conference of State Legislatures reports among the states that provide for cooling off periods for former legislators before they become lobbyists. 10 states set the waiting period at 2 years. 26 states require a one-year gap between legislating and lobbying, and two more provide limits up to 12 months. Now, Michigan only prohibits legislators from lobbying for the remainder of the term that they would have served if they'd not vacated the office. That means a former legislator could be lobbying the members of a committee he or she chaired as recently as last month. Ken Sikkema, should there be a waiting period?
I'm not a big fan of these waiting periods. It's not a reform I would put at the top of my list. I think there are other things that are a lot more important. Part of the reason that I'm not really a fan of it is that I think there's kind of a misconception of who really is a lobbyist and who isn't. I mean, you have to register as a lobbyist, even though you might work for your local school district, a local hospital, a chamber of commerce, and it's just part of your job because you meet with legislators and therefore you have to register. So frankly, I think it's more of a perceived problem than a real problem.
And I see that because I know people get really upset about this and they get really upset about lobbyists buying legislators free lunches, which I think is the least of our problems. Vicki, does it really matter whether you wait a year or two before a former legislator becomes a lobbyist?
I think it can. And that's why I was happy to sponsor and then co-sponsor several bills that would require a two-year waiting period. First, let me say there's nothing wrong with lobbyists. Lobbyists provide needed information for legislators. Of course, it's one-sided, but that information is still good information, and you need to know that side of the story if you're going to cast an educated vote for your citizens. On the other hand, sometimes some of the bills that come up, especially in lame duck or late in a legislator's term before term limits hit, can be seen as shopping for a lobbying position. And some of these bills are very one-sided and are designed to help a legislator secure a lobbyist position with a company that lobbies for that particular bill and what's contained in that bill. And that's why I think that a waiting period is important, to separate the legislator from looking for a job and then joining the lobby corps.
Ken, what do you think of Vicki's points?
Well, another thing to think about is that, you know, 90% of Lansing lobbyists are not former legislators. In fact, it's probably even 95%. They're former staff, and they're particularly influential in an era of term limits. And you know, that's why I think sort of looking at legislators, focus on legislators per se, is sort of missing the target, if there is a target. And like I said, I just think it's an exaggerated problem.
Well, just remember, it's not the staff that votes and casts the votes in the legislature. It's the legislator that does.
No, Vicki's right. I mean, they're the ultimate decision maker. But particularly in the era of term limits, I think the staff has become far more influential than in the past. It's just, I think there are other reforms that are at the top of my list. This isn't one of them.
Yeah, staff has the institutional knowledge, especially with term limits. Let's turn to another topic. Bridge Magazine reporter Mike Wilkinson reported that on the last day of the lame duck session, the Republican-dominated legislature approved a $10 million grant to bring water and sewer lines to land owned by a development company headed up by the former chair of the Michigan Republican Party, Bobby Shostak. Ken, this was perfectly legal, but the optics are not great. What do you make of this revelation?
Oh, I think it's a terrible situation. This is a reform I do put at the top of my list. These special projects, they call them enhancement grants, this in the lame duck session, that get kind of put into a appropriation supplemental bill without any prior review, is just flat out wrong. And you know, 20 years ago, they were actually prohibited under the joint rules of the House and the Senate for a brief period of time because of how egregiously wrong they were. And there's a simple fix. You just put in the joint rules that these special projects cannot all of a sudden appear without having first been approved by one of the houses, either the House or the Senate. So there's been some public exposure. This is a real problem.
Vicki, how often do we see these kinds of sweetheart deals?
All the time, especially in lame duck. And that's a strong argument for getting rid of lame duck sessions. So after the election in November, there should be no more legislative sessions because these bills go back and forth very quickly without any due process, any hearings. And in the late hours of the last few days of session this year, we passed more than half the bills for 2018 were passed in the lame duck session. And the citizens have, the legislators especially, have no time to read these bills, especially when they're rewritten and changed and substituted in and out, and all of these deals are going on. It's really hard to legislate properly and to know what you're voting on. And a lot of these things sneak through. I want to point out $500,000 of this is going to fix roads in Mackinac Island where there are no cars. So when we have roads crumbling in across the state of Michigan, why isn't some of this money going to those things? And then you get into one of the reforms that Ken and I probably want to see is, why don't we talk about open meetings and open records? And here, there's no way to trace who put what in these bills because there are no requirements for the Open Meetings Act to apply to the legislature.
Right. You're getting to my next point. The legislator where the Shostak development is taking place did not know about this grant until the wee hours of the morning. The former chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee does not know who requested the grant. The legislator who reportedly lobbied for the grant earlier didn't know how it got into the supplemental budget. No one wants to own this. Is this the kind of thing that legislative leaders in the Snyder administration could just slip in without anybody's knowledge, Ken?
Well, this, all of these denials, they don't pass the smell test here. Line items and appropriation bills, even in lame duck, even at the end, there's at least four people who know about every single line item. That's the majority leader, the speaker, and the two appropriation chairs. I'm not buying an argument that these people didn't know what that was all about.
Vicki?
I'm not either, especially since there was a lot of horse trading going on. This is when you say to somebody, the governor really wanted some cleanup funding. He didn't get all that he wanted, but he did get some. And in exchange for some of the cleanup funding, it's been reported by Bridge Magazine that possibly he traded votes for the cleanup for some of these pork projects. So clearly people knew what was going on.
But pork is good if you're the receiver of pork in your district. I mean, some of those projects actually deserve to be done. Some are, you know, pork barrel projects.
But one of the projects that was proposed was by Senator Coleman Young, which was $500,000 to clean up the drinking water in Detroit's public schools. That seems to me to be the kind of projects that we should be funding with this supplemental, not $500,000 going to fix roads on Mackinac Island where there are no cars. So while some of these projects are good and needed, the way that the process works is tainted, and that's part of the problem.
Ken, last thoughts.
Well, I think there's a big difference, Lester, between a project that benefits a local community like clean water or something like that versus a project that is designed to benefit a private developer solely. That's a big difference.
Ken Sikkema is Senior Policy Fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican Majority Leader of the State Senate. Vicki Barnett is a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lester.